Welcome to the Gas Street Podcast. Our vision as a church is to be light for the city.
We really hope you enjoy this message.
And I'm really excited to be beginning a whole new series for us tonight on the book of Mark, the Gospel of Mark. So if you have a Bible, you might want to get it ready, get to Mark's Gospel in the New Testament, but it'll also be on the screen for when I get to the passage in a moment. But we are so excited about this series. We've been praying into it, praying for you as you receive it and participate in it. Because all through this term, with a small break in the middle, we are going to be journeying with what Mark tells us about who Jesus is and how to follow him. And we all know we need to be more like Jesus, right? We want to look more like him. We want to act more like him. We want to speak more like him. And so we are super excited as a church to commit ourselves, to commit our intentionality to follow through the Gospel of Mark this term. And here on Sundays, what we're actually going to do for the first few weeks is just look at the very first two chapters, because there's so much just in the first two chapters about who Jesus is. But also, as we come up to Easter later on this term, we're going to pick up the gospel again and follow through the different expectations as to what was going to happen and around who Jesus is. In our communities, that's our small groups that meet midweek that are so crucial for our faith and discipleship, we're going to be also journeying through the whole book. So we are truly going to get marked, the title of our series, this term. Let's just pray, just before we go any further. Let's pray together. Holy Spirit, we thank you already for your presence here with us in the room, those watching online. We thank you, Holy Spirit, for how you are at work making us more like Jesus. And our prayer tonight is, would you come through your word and make us more like Jesus? Transform us. Transform my heart. Transform my mind. Transform my decisions, my will, my vision for my life to be more like what Jesus wants. Amen. Amen. So first of all, just a very short kind of introduction, some basic facts about Mark's gospel, especially if you're new to faith, new to church, or maybe you've been a Christian for a while, but you haven't dived into Mark for a while. Just four headers, if we could have them on the screen, that I've picked out just to guide you into the gospel of Mark. First of all, I've put the number 16. There are 16 chapters in Mark's gospel. And I've put 8 + 8, not because I love maths, but because I find it really helpful. 8 chapters of who Jesus is, 8 chapters to explain that he is going to die is one way a theologian split up Mark. 8 chapters to explain who Jesus is, and then the second 8 to explain that he is going to die. You might find that helpful as an understanding, a framework for Mark's gospel. Second, I've put the word fast, because Mark's gospel is the shortest and the most kind of fast-paced with the biggest punches straight away. And we're going to experience that tonight, in fact. But also I've put the word fast because we believe that Mark's gospel circulated when it came out widely. It was one of the fastest running of the Gospels throughout the known world at the time, possibly because it was written maybe in Rome, Mark being connected with Peter, we're not sure, but mainly because of its content, because of the power of what it said about this Jesus of Nazareth. So it was fast moving. Thirdly, you might find it helpful, I put the word biography, because we think the first receivers of Mark's gospel would have understood it in those terms, that they might have been familiar with biographies of Julius Caesar or Socrates or whatever at the time. Mark, in a way, is writing a biography of God, of the invisible Yahweh, creator God, now made visible in this Jesus. That's one way to understand the book. And finally, fourthly, I've put the word explanation. Some scholars think Mark's whole aim in writing this book is to explain the crucifixion, that almost to understand the book, you need to go to the end. You need to start with Jesus' death and resurrection and kind of work back from that point, read it backwards. Maybe you find that interesting, intriguing, and maybe that's what you want to do even as an exercise, start at the end and work backwards. Finally, we think that Mark was probably written in the late kind of 60s AD, not the 1960s, but the late 60s AD, because we think that Matthew and Luke most likely will have read Mark and they were written later. So this is the book of Mark we're going to explore that tells us about who Jesus is and how to follow him. So we've called this series Marked because two things. We want to get Mark. We want to really like get inside this gospel. But secondly, we want to get marked by Jesus. We want to get marked by the contents of Mark's gospel. You see what I've done there? So how do we know that Mark was marked by Jesus? Well, by the way he opens his gospel. And that's what we're going to look at this evening. Just the very first verse. Now, don't worry. We're not going to do just the second verse next week. And then just the we're going to speed up. But tonight, we're just going to do the very first verse. And it says this, Mark 1:1. You can follow it in your Bible or you can read it on the screen. It says, the beginning of the good news about Jesus Christ, the Son of God. The beginning of the good news about Jesus Christ, the Son of God. This opening from Mark is brimming, bubbling over with confidence, isn't it? With absolute confidence that Jesus is good news for you and for the whole known world. Mark is so confident, you can see it if you're looking in a physical Bible, that there's no Christmas before it. Like he skips the whole Christmas, like that we find in Matthew and Luke, the birth of Jesus narratives. He skips all the angel songs, the shepherds, the star, Mary, Joseph genealogies. No, he's just explosive confidence. The beginning of the good news about Jesus Christ, the Son of God. You know that moment where you've got good news to tell someone else? You know that feeling? Especially if it's delayed, like you know it, but you can't yet tell them. You know that feeling like, oh my goodness, I can't wait. Like, and especially if it's like, you've just got to get into another room in the house. Maybe your friend's there or at work, a colleague's there, and you just burst in finally. That's what it's like on this very first verse of Mark's gospel. He bursts out into the space that says, the beginning of the good news about Jesus Christ, the Son of God. And so what I want to draw from this very first verse is that Mark has absolute confidence and that we can have that same confidence today. We can move in that kind of confidence. And as a church, we can bless our world, bless our city with Mark's level of confidence in Jesus Christ. But let me talk to you a minute about confidence, because I don't know what your confidence levels are tonight in your heart, in your mind, because they can be different, can't they? What you're feeling, what you're thinking, what your body's telling you about how confident am I right now, tonight in January 2025. Confidence can be a slippery thing, easy to lose, can't it? One silly example, Becky and I, my wife and I, we went through a Starbucks drive-through last autumn. I asked Callum to give me a picture of a Starbucks drive-through, just to reassure you, that's not my car. Just you know, it's not the pastor's car. But like, we go to Starbucks drive-through, and you know, they have those like little boxes, the speaker grill, you speak into that, and then there's someone behind the scenes who's taking the order. I'm speaking as if I'm telling people, what, you know, 100 years ago, how I know you all know how a drive-through works, forgive me. But like, so you drive up and this voice says, hello and welcome, Starbucks, what would you like? And I'm in the car with Becky next to me and I turn to her and say, what would you like? And she says, I would like a pumpkin spice latte. I think, well, that's expensive. No, I think, great. I turn to the little box, the speaker, and I say, please can I have a pumpkin spice latte? And the voice, and I don't know why, but the voice in the box said, a pumpkin spice latte? And in that moment, like all my confidence for the order just went. I was like, oh no, maybe are we in spring? Have I ordered an awesome drink in spring? Like, oh my goodness, maybe we don't want a pumpkin. I don't know. Anyway, I carried on and I thought, what do I want? I want a flat white. So then I said, a flat white, please. And I promise you, the voice back said, a flat white, as if I was the most crazy person in all the world. And I started thinking, have I like gone to a pet store and ordered a coffee? Like, am I entirely in the wrong place? all confidence fled. I was like, where have I come from? Who am I? Where am I going to? It's a silly little example, and I have no idea why they're questioning the order. But that's what it felt like anyway. And all my confidence just went. And that's what it can be like, if we're honest. Day by day, our confidence just ebbs and flows if it's attached to earthly circumstances and earthly pursuits. Hesitation, self-doubt, these nasty things just flood our hearts and minds. And we start doubting, we start moving, the Bible talks about, in unbelief. But there's none of that in Mark's opening, is there? The beginning of the good news of Jesus Christ, the Son of God. Mark has truly been marked by Jesus. But if we're honest, even as long-term Christians, it can be so easy for our confidence to be stolen. Forces external, outside of us, the start of this year, 2025, it's a bleak world out there, isn't it? It's a bleak world. There's a theologian of the last century, Karl Barth, used to say, I pray with my Bible open in one hand and a newspaper open in the other. And I always used to think that is so good. But to be absolutely honest, I don't know about you, but right now I want to close the paper. I just want my Bible open. Because why? Because I feel my confidence being pulled out. There's just so much bad news, so much conflict and disaster and fear in our world that confidence can be taken out from us. And rather than living like Jesus reigns over every leader, over every principality and power, rather than living like God is a good heavenly Father who has good plans for our world, we start hesitating and self-doubting and doubting God. And when you hesitate, when you lose confidence, you step back, you withdraw, like, oh, what am I living for? Can I really believe this? Can I trust in this? And so Mark wants us as readers of his account, because he lived in exactly the same kind of world. He wants us to have confidence in the good news of Jesus. And we know he lived in exactly the same kind of world as ours, with these same conflicts and bad news all around. One theologian says this, we could have this quote, the aim of Mark is to help the church clarify its understanding of the meaning of the Christ event and discipleship to Jesus in a threatening, confused, and conflicted situation. So if this is you tonight, if in some way you feel you are losing confidence, that the world around you, your relationships, financial pressures are causing you to hesitate in the goodness of God, in who Jesus is, the message tonight that Mark would say to you is no, be confident in the good news of Jesus. And in a very simple truth, by reading Mark, by committing intentionally to this series, you are going to gain confidence. You're going to gain stature in the Lord to live the life he has called you to live. Confidence is not a feeling. Confidence in the kingdom is a decision. That God is good and on his throne and Jesus reigns. And that's what Mark is bringing to us. How is he bringing this to us? Well, let's dive in briefly just to this first verse at another deeper level. I'm just going to pull it apart in three ways. Come with me. First of all, the beginning, just that word, the beginning, okay, that he uses. So the beginning is in the Greek a word arche. And what's interesting is it's the same Greek word that would have been in Mark's Old Testament in Greek. In the very first verse of Genesis, very first book of the Bible, it would have been the same word there. In the beginning, in arche, God created the heavens and the earth. Why is this significant? It's significant because Mark is telling his readers in this very first verse of his gospel that the good news about Jesus is on the same level as the good news that God has created the world. That creating the world out of nothing, this Jesus of Nazareth who's now entered our world, is as important news that he wants to communicate to everyone as the news that the world exists. That's how important this news is that Mark wants to bring to us. He's confident that he himself has found a whole new beginning. a whole new way of life. No wonder that Paul, the Apostle Paul in 2 Corinthians 5:17, writes this. He's probably read what Mark said, and he says this, therefore, if anyone is in Christ, the new creation has come. The old has gone, completely gone. The new is here. And this newness of life is on offer to every single one of us. That's why Mark bursts out into the room with this good news, this opening verse, because he wants to communicate that this whole new beginning, a whole new creation is available to everyone in Jesus of Nazareth, Jesus Christ, a whole new world. A.W. Tozer says this, when God forgives us, he trusts us as though we had never sinned. He didn't have reservations about any of us when we became his children by faith. When God forgives a man or woman, he doesn't think, I'll have to watch this guy because he has a bad record. No, he starts with him or her again, as though they had just been created and as if there had been no past at all. This new creation you step into in Jesus is a whole fresh freedom that we find in God's grace and God's forgiveness, where we're marked by the blood of Jesus. And it transports us from the old. And remember, if it's helpful imagery, before the world began, chaos, darkness, those are the kind of words to describe the old. But the new in Jesus, of peace and patience and kindness and goodness and self-control, all the things we've sung about. The new is wonderful news. It's stretched out on tiptoe news. It's news that all of creation is longing for. Healing, restoration news is available to us in Jesus. And that new beginning Mark is communicating to us in the message I want to communicate to you today, that's the source of your confidence. The source, if you've been a Christian a while, look back to when you started with Jesus. Remember the whole new creation he's called you into, the new you that has begun. He who has been faithful will complete the work in you. Be confident that you started in the new creation with Jesus. If you're not yet following Jesus, you're exploring faith, we're so excited you're here. I'm so excited you're listening, and if you're online. But this is a moment today, tonight, before the day is over, to choose to step in to a whole new life with Jesus. I still remember that moment where I was like, okay. I had loads of questions still, but I suddenly knew that I wanted Jesus. I suddenly had this feeling, this is real. He's alive, and I want this. And so I said, yes. And when you say yes, some transformation, some change takes a while, what tradition calls sanctification, becoming holy. But other things happen straight away. I remember one of the things, crazy things for me, was I just stopped swearing overnight. Like, just stopped. I was like, what kind of power is this? Do you know what I mean? Like, I want to swear. Like, what kind of power is this? And I know some of you will know that experience of like, what? This thing just changed when I met Jesus. And that's the kind of power of new creation, new things coming out of the soil, new plants, flowers growing metaphorically in your life suddenly. Like, they couldn't grow in the old way. There are things, if you're in the old way, there's things that aren't growing in your life. Because you have to get out. You have to step into the new and then look around, follow Jesus, and suddenly it's a whole new garden. It's a whole new place to enjoy, a spacious place the Psalms talk about, of life in Jesus, of the good news in the air around you, in the rain that falls on your life and makes things grow. It's God. It's his voice that's called you and you've responded. It's wonderful news. And so that's the beginning on offer. Secondly, I've kind of stepped into this already, but the beginning of the good news, of the good news. In some translations, it's the gospel. That's where we get the gospel from, the gospel of Mark, the good news of Mark. Now, think of a time when you have received good news from someone else. That moment, like maybe it's like results of something you've done, a job offer, maybe like a friend's got engaged or just a friend's coming to stay, like you haven't seen them for ages. You know that feeling of, yeah, like I'm going to go out, you know, have a drink with my friend. I haven't seen them for a long time. And it's like, you're looking forward to it. And that good news moment, it just floods in, doesn't it? And like, it makes you happy for the rest of that day, most likely. Like, yeah, that's great. Good news. Good news changes your day, but this good news of Mark, this is far more permanent. It's far more resilient, right? Everlasting good news that Mark is going to reveal to us through the rest of his gospel account. It's the kind of word Mark uses here that in their world was used to signal celebration for the whole known world. It would have been the kind of word that would be used to announce like the enthronement or achievement of a Roman emperor or something like that in their time. And Mark is taking that word and he's using it to say, Yahweh has returned in the person of Jesus to reign and rule over his people. And so that's the kind of level of resilient, everlasting, eternal good news that Mark is speaking to us. And I don't know about you, but when I was reflecting on this, like, I don't want my confidence to be strong or weak depending on earthly good news. That's the old way. But how many of us live like that if we're honest? Like your feeling of confidence relies on earthly good news. But this gospel tells us that's not the sign of someone who's been marked by Jesus. If Mark was here now, he'd be saying to us, no. Your confidence as followers of Jesus is not supposed to rely on how your day is going. That's not what Paul and Silas did in prison in Acts 16, is it? No, they had some other source of confidence. Our confidence as Christians relies on how Jesus' days went, not on how your day's going. No, if I start feeling my confidence going, I need to look back. I need to look into the text and look back to how Jesus' days went. And from there, I draw fresh confidence, resilient confidence, everlasting confidence. That Jesus died and on the third day he rose and he's alive today. Thirdly, and finally from this verse, the beginning of the good news about Jesus Christ. And I've only done this very first verse tonight because there's so much in it. Like Mark is so clever because hidden in it, it's almost like encoded is this deep truth that he's gonna reveal and unpack throughout the rest of these chapters. Jesus Christ. Christ, of course, is not his surname. Think of your surname right now. No, it's not his surname, it's his title. And I know some of you will already know this, but I just want to really make this clear. So it'd be more helpful to understand it as about Christ, Jesus. Christos, the Greek, means anointed one, links to the Hebrew for Messiah. So it could read the beginning of the good news about Messiah, Jesus, the Son of God. And this is so important because Mark is communicating to us already this clue that this Jesus, this announcement of the good news about Jesus, Messiah, Jesus, everyone around him would have been able to decode that and go, oh my goodness, what? Messiah? Did he say Messiah? You know that moment in Traitors when a head turns, as you've been watching? Like this word Messiah, they would have, what? What? Messiah Jesus, because they've been waiting and longing. Think of something you're waiting and longing for and multiply it by a gazillion. And the people of God have been waiting and longing for hundreds of years to be freed from oppression since the Babylonian captivity, 597. And so they've been waiting and longing for a Messiah to come who will free them from their enemies and restore the presence of God. So when Mark announces this, he knows exactly what he's announcing. Bursting into the room, the good news about Messiah Jesus. What? Messiah Jesus is here. What, this Jesus of Nazareth? He's the one who will defeat evil and restore the presence of God. Yes, Mark is telling us already, and we're going to unpack that through this series, but he's going to do it by laying down his life. That's the kind of Messiah that Jesus is. And that's what Mark's going to unpack to us throughout, and we're going to follow through the series. So I want to encourage you. I've unpacked three things from that verse that show us how Mark has clearly been so marked by Jesus. And I want to encourage you tonight to get Mark and get marked by Jesus. Mark itself, here it is, you can buy it as a single book. This is like a journaling version, so half of this is just blank pages. So I show you this because it's not a big deal to read it. It's like half of this size. It's 16 chapters. Like, if there's one thing you're going to do intentionally, like, hey, just read this book, the book of Mark. Get Mark and get marked by Jesus. But another thing I want to say as I'm kind of coming into land is this. Mark has been marked by Jesus. But also what I notice just from this very, very first verse is that Mark is now making his mark. See what I've done there? Mark is now making his mark. He's stepping out into the world by writing this gospel. He's now putting his head above the parapet. And he's saying, Jot, my life is, I'm not going to be precious about keeping on to my life. I'm going to lose my life by stepping up out of the parapet. But this good news is too important. This good news is too important to hold back. So I need to write this. I need to step out and make my mark. And I wanted to encourage us today as a church, encourage you in your life to find your way to make your mark for Jesus in 2025. Like, by which I mean, find your way to confidently put out into the world the good news that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. He's the way, the truth, and the life. Now, the world, the flesh, and the devil will do all they can to rob you of the confidence to do this. Rob you of the confidence to speak out for Jesus, to put out the good news in your own way into the world. But just to return to the Starbucks story, do you know what I had to do? When the person in the box was saying, a pumpkin spice latte, when they were questioning my decisions, questioning my confidence, a flat white. Do you know what I had to do? All I had to do was speak back to the voice. Yes, I want a pumpkin spice latte with cream. Yes, I want a flat white. That is what I want. Firmly but with kindness. That's all I had to do was speak back to the voice. And I believe that's a word for someone here today. I believe the Lord wants to renew your confidence. And us as a church, our confidence. Speak back to the voice that tries to rob you of confidence. Maybe it's a past voice that's tried to make you hesitant. You know you step back. What can I bring to the church? What can I bring to Jesus? What could he want me for? What, I'm not as gifted as these other people around me. No. Step forward. Step forward tonight. Step forward with what you've got. Remember the feeding of the 5,000. It was a little boy step forward. Little lunchbox. That's all I've got, Jesus. But he's like, I love that. He loves what you've got. He loves what you haven't got. He just wants you. And then he's going to use you powerfully. So what are you going to bring to him for 2025? And in this series, how are you putting out the good news? Through your art, through your creativity, maybe through your business skills, maybe through your exercise, what you do, the people you hang out with and meet with, the way you treat one another. What can you bring to him to put out the good news of Jesus? Get marked and make your mark in 2025. One final thing, if the band want to come up. I promise you this is a final thing. Because I'm just trying to get you intrigued and excited to read this more, to get into this more, and to follow Jesus more closely. One final thing. This gospel, the gospel according to Mark, is technically, scholars think, actually anonymous. So we've been speaking about Mark a lot. It's technically actually anonymous. The author remains technically unidentified. Like, there's a lot of different strong theories with strong different bits of evidence for Mark, but we're not, for Mark who's in Acts and travels with Peter, but we're not exactly sure. One of the greatest New Testament scholars, N.T. Wright, he says this, or this is all we can know. We can infer that the Gospel of Mark was written by a Greek-speaking Jewish Christian, deeply familiar with the Old Testament and clear in his mind that Jesus was indeed Son of God. That's all we can be sure of. So I love this fact because it made me think, the more we're marked by Jesus, the more anonymous we're supposed to become. The more we're marked by Jesus, the more anonymous. Because we so want Jesus to be known through us, our work, our energy, our efforts, that our name must fade away. That's kingdom confidence. No one on earth can do that kind of thing, but Jesus in us can do it. That kind of topsy-turvy confidence that my name's going to fade away to reveal and make clear Jesus' name in the world. An illustration to help you remember this. It's not perfect, but Banksy, he leaves his mark, doesn't he? No one knows who he is. He leaves his mark all across cities and he's known now throughout the world, but no one really knows who he is. Thank you, you can take that down. In the same way, like, how can we leave the mark of Jesus in our relationships, our friendships, your work, your business, your Monday morning, Tuesday afternoon? Leave the mark of Jesus and may your name fade away and his name be seen. Get mark, make your mark. Let's stand together. And we're just gonna pray. Holy Spirit, we welcome you. We thank you for this time together. You might just want to close your eyes. And you may just want to open your hands, but not as a sign of receiving, but this time as a sign of just giving. Like, here I am, Lord. Maybe it's what you do. Maybe it's the week ahead. Maybe it's relationships, friendships. Maybe it's the house you live in. Room you're going back to, but you're going to give it to the Lord and say, Lord, I'm desperate to meet with you in that place. I want to get more of you so that I can represent you more to others. Just have a moment to present yourself to the Lord. Respond to what you've heard to get more of Jesus, to get more of Scripture in your life. Come, Holy Spirit.
Thanks for listening. To hear more messages like this one, make sure you subscribe so you don't miss out.
If you want to find out more, visit our website, gasstreet.org, or follow us on Instagram @gasstreetchurch.